Welcome to Salt and Light with Pastor Randy Mitchell. Jesus said to his disciples, "Ye are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." Salt and Light confronts the difficult and often controversial issues that affect today's culture. The only hope for this generation is for more people to follow Jesus Christ and for his followers to be salt and light in their community. Pastor Randy will discuss the Bible solutions to help us know what God says about the problems we face today. Salt and Light is a ministry of Temple Baptist Church in Statesville, North Carolina. Here's your host, Pastor Randy Mitchell.
Welcome to Salt and Light. It is a pleasure and a privilege to be with you here today, and we appreciate all of you tuning in, whether you are listening live on the radio or through live stream, or those of you that will tune in live stream later on. I know we've got quite a bit of audience that tunes in later on through Facebook and what have you. I'm joined by Brother Max Robinson, my trusty sidekick. Brother Max, it has been a little while since you've been my co-host here on Salt and Light. I've had a bunch of preachers here lately, different pastors throughout and different people in ministry. And so it's just been circumstantial. I hope that I haven't hurt your feelings by not having you on Salt and Light. But no. We got to get the rust knocked off here, and we're going to have a good broadcast today. I'm pretty excited about the topic. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me today. And no, I'm not offended or hurt or... It's good. It's good to have other men that have a walk with God to come join you on this and to help bring fresh perspective, you know, to the Word of God. And we talked about it earlier with Joe that this is our authority. This is what we go to. And there's much to be said. God has given us a great book, and we can discern it and know it and discuss it and all be edified and helped by it.
Yeah, amen. Well, I always enjoy doing radio with you. We always have a good time, good chemistry, good camaraderie. I've said to many, many people through the years that I've not known a brother in Christ that I have felt more like-minded with. You know, Paul talked about Timothy being like-minded. And I really appreciate that your ministry and your mindset. We've been friends for a long time, but I tell people it's like it hasn't necessarily been that you've influenced me or I've influenced you. It just seems like that over the years when we've been fellowshipping and talking about different things going on, different Bible doctrines and current events and so forth, it's just been uncanny through the years that you'll say something and I'll go, well, that's exactly the way that I see it. And I remember there's been times when I've given you my take on it and you said, that's exactly the way that I see it. And so either great minds think alike or we are both really messed up together. I don't know which it is, but I do appreciate you. I appreciate the job that you are doing, you and Sister Rachel, your wife, in leading our Master Club ministry at Temple Baptist. And since you haven't been on Salt and Light for a number of weeks, there are some great things going on with our Master Club program, and I am seeing just wonderful things. It's growing in numbers, and you know, we've got some listeners out there that really ought to get serious about considering bringing their kids to our Master Club program. They don't have to stay for church if they don't want to. We'd love for them to, and we've been having some really good Wednesday night services in the adult auditorium as well, Bible study and prayer meeting, and that's just been a great spirit. The attendance has been good on Wednesday night, but I've just been observing what's going on with our kids, and I attribute it to your leadership. And so I'm going to pass the baton to you here for maybe most of the rest of this segment and talk to our listeners about Master Club, why they ought to send their kids to our Wednesday night 7 to 8:30, hour and a half program, power-packed. Why should they send their kids to our Master Club?
Well, first, I want to say that, you know, any praise and glory needs to go to Jesus Christ. It's about Him. Amen. And that is the theme of it. Master Club is about the Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and trying to give Him the preeminence in young lives that He deserves. And it is something that's definitely needed all across the world. But our young people need that influence of what is good and what has hope and that has a future and that is in Christ. I mean, because look, the world is not offering that. Only Christ is. And so that is the emphasis of that. So God be the glory in this. And I want to thank you as a pastor that is willing to devote time and resources to ensuring that we can do this. You know, because there are people that have desire to do kids programs, but it takes effort, it takes support, and it does take some finances. And, you know, I don't know what, I've probably blown the budget already. this year. But I.
Well, you're safe. We're on the air, so I can. You know,
but it's
a great place to confess.
Right. It's important. You know, we're trying to invest in the lives and the hearts of these children. We have leaders, men and women that love God and are devoted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I won't call them out by name because they may not like that. I don't know. But if they listen, I can't thank them enough for their faithfulness and their desire. And then right now we're going through our training or preparation for regionals. It's going to be at Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown. Mm-hmm. And we have not just our leaders, we have other church members helping our kids prepare for that. And it just, I'm thankful for that.
And they'll be competing against a lot of other churches in this region. And what are the kind of things that they'll be competing at?
So this regional has a variety of things. There's music, so that you can enter solos, duets, trios, ensembles. There are Bible quizzing games. So just basic Bible knowledge that is, you know, there's sensors that the kids sit on, so the first one up gets to answer the question. One of our young girls did very well last year, took first in that. Mm-hmm. We're excited about that. So you have those kinds of things. There's we have some kids that are going to be playing violin, and we have piano entries. Mm-hmm. We have those that you can do preacher boy entries. You have missionary stories, Sunday school teaching lessons, and our kids are participating in each of these things. And then, of course, we have
puppet,
fun and games.
Puppet shows?
There's puppet shows. Yeah. We have two teams entering in that. We have, of course, games, just fun games, sport-type games.
Relay kind of fun games.
Yes, and the kids love that. So they host a variety of events. It's an all-day thing for the kids. They give out great awards. I mean, there's medals, there's trophies, there's ribbons.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. It really is. And our kids are excited about it. We've been preparing and training our kids for several weeks in this now. We recently, as you know, we did hosted a Pine Car Derby for our Masters clubs.
Yeah, that was a blast.
And so each week we are seeing just the faithfulness of kids. We'd love to see more kids come. We have seen an increase in our attendance this year, and we're thankful for that. And we just are striving to go forward with this. And I can't say enough about it. I think it's a good program. I think it's been good for the young people.
I remember the first year that we were in the Master Club regionals there at Walkertown, and our team, we were all new at it, so there was a lot of things that our kids had not gotten good at yet. But one thing that they were good at that first year, well, we won the Spirit Award for sportsmanship, but then they really cleaned house on the cup stacking. You know, they didn't know the Bible, but they knew how to stack cups. And so we had a good time with that. Folks, stay tuned. We're going to be back right after the break. Welcome back. In the previous segment, Brother Max Robinson and I were talking about a very special ministry that we have at our church, Temple Baptist Church, and it's called Master Club. The theme verse for it is found in the Gospels, "For one is your master, even Christ." And everything about this program is centered around Jesus Christ and making disciples, teaching these children the Word of God, giving them different challenges where they can earn awards. Every Wednesday night at the end of Master Club, all of the kids come into the auditorium and in front of their parents and the whole church, Brother Max, you give out the awards on different challenges and book work and projects that are all part of that program. And so it's not just come and have some fun and listen to a message. It's very interactive. It's very hands-on, where the kids are not only doing something on Wednesday night, but they have things that they can do throughout the week. And it's a wonderful program, folks. We have a handful. It seems like every couple months we pick up another kid in our Master Club that is not part of our church. They don't go to our church, but they come to Master Club. And I just want all of our listeners to know that you are very, very welcome. We would love for you to come. Brother Max talked about blowing the budget this year. We do put some money into it. But the thing that I want you to know is that we don't want your money. We want to help your kids. We've got the expenses covered. It is not anything that's going to cost you anything. It's just something that we want you to come. It's kind of like a vacation Bible school, only it's just one night a week, and you can drop your kids off. If you would like to register your child for our Master Club, you can go on our website, templebaptistnc.com, and right there on the home page it'll say Master Club, and you can click on that and it'll walk you right through every detail, and you can register your kid and then just bring them on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And if you have any questions, feel free to call our church office or email us. All that information is on our website. Before we get into our Bible topic today, Brother Max, any last words that you'd like to say about Master Club?
Well, we, again, just like to encourage others to come, and their children be more than welcome. We work from them from age 3 through 6th grade, so we have a pretty good range there of the kids that we work with, and we do start promptly at 7. So if you'd like to come, encourage you to come 10, 15 minutes early so we can get your kid registered and walk them through, the parents, through what we'll be doing that evening and what they'll be achieving, etc. So it just give them a little bit of orientation and comfort of what's doing. And if they want to observe some of the opening stuff, we do not discourage that.
Right.
We're not a closed thing here. We want the parents to feel assured and comfortable where they're sending their
kids. If I was dropping off, my daughter Anna or my son Josh at a church that I'm not familiar with, I would want to hang out. I would want to make sure that they're—
I know, and your kids are in their 30s. Hands.
Yeah, I know. I'm talking about in the past. But, all of our workers, we do background checks on all of them. They're extensively trained in working with kids, so we don't take this lightly. We just threw this together, and we want you to bring your kids so that we can have more numbers. We're not trying to have more numbers. We want to be effective. And rest assured, parents out there, you ought to consider it. You would be very, very glad that you did, I believe with all my heart.
And I'd like to say, too, we're trying to make this a part of our junior church on Sunday morning as well. A similar thought, working with our kids, knowing the Word of God, knowing the Savior, learning valuable life principles, which you're going to be segueing in here in a minute, of something that we'll learn. These are part of the basic ones that we're trying. What you're going to talk to us about today is a topic that we're trying to work with our children on now.
Yeah.
So that when they are adults, they are more stable and have a great foundation.
And what could be more important in raising kids and making sure that they have a foundation, not of religion per se, but a foundation in God and in the Bible. Amen. Jesus Christ is our foundation, and we want our children, we want your children to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to know Him and to know His Word. And that's what's lacking in American culture today and in families and in churches. And so we're doing everything we can to try to keep that foundation strong like it used to be in our country. Well, you mentioned I was going to segue into this topic, Brother Max. The topic that I've got on my heart here today is the topic of self-control. And we joked a little bit in our text message when I told you about the topic and how that, I'm not exactly a master of the topic. And I have to confess just publicly that self-control is a topic of learning for me, not something that I've mastered. It's something that I've struggled with in one way or another my entire life. Probably, the truth be known, everybody does in one area or another. If you go all the way back to the beginning of human nature and after the fall, you know, of course, the temptation in the Garden of Eden, sin entered in, and after Adam and Eve fell, one of the first things that happened, sinfully speaking, was an act of lack of self-control, and that is when Cain slew his brother Abel. He couldn't control his emotions and feelings. He got jealous. He got angry. And that led to murdering his own brother. After that, he couldn't even control how he felt about it. And he just tried to dismiss it as if it's nothing. You know, am I my brother's keeper? And just the cold-heartedness there that was as a result of his lack of self-control. And certainly there are roots and causes as to why we lack self-control, but the entire human nature is in need of this topic. And the Bible has so much. In fact, this Bible, cover to cover, is filled with stories. Good men, good people, who never mastered self-control. David, the man after God's own heart, was guilty of an act of losing his self-control when he saw a beautiful woman and lusted after her, and he let his desires get the best of him, and he did something that he was against. And that's the crazy thing about the lack of self-control. The Bible uses the word temperate. And so we lose, we become weak, and oftentimes because we do not have self-control, we do the very thing that we're against doing. We know better. But knowing better and doing better is not always the same thing. And so this is a very important topic. I haven't mastered it. I know you joked about how that, you know, I look at you and I go, man, you seem to have your act together. So, we all have figured out a way, just like everybody else, to try to appear better than we are. And we all have our skeletons in our closet. But seriously, I battle with this. I can do good for a while, and then just the right circumstance, and I will blow it, whether I lose my temper or, you know, get frustrated, get discouraged, whether it's my emotions or just self-discipline, my appetites, etc. It's hard to stay on track, and everything around us seems to be pulling us a different direction. What sayest thou?
Well, I completely agree, and you mentioned your struggle with this. I, if everybody would be humble and honest, we all battle this. And that's why there is so much of it in Scripture that's being taught and given examples. And, you know, you brought up Cain and Abel and how that loss of self-control and resulted in murder. Well, it happened in David's case. That is a very drastic, but it is a general conclusion. When we lose all self-control, it leads in complete destruction. It is either in ourselves or those around us. And so it is a very devastating thing. And I was convicted when you just texted the topic. You know, I'm an imperfect
that's
person.
Either I have the power of God or you're just struggling. I have a feeling it has nothing to do with me.
But the scriptures and the things we're going to look at and discuss, we're not expert in this, but no. It doesn't make it less true. And we are to strive for these. These are the things, as Paul's teaching, to strive for. This is what we're to strive for, to be temperate. And I'd like to read a passage in 1 Corinthians.
Absolutely.
Okay, because this has to deal with the Christian life and the walk. And chapter 9, 1 Corinthians, and through verse 24 through 27, it says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. So this is talking about the Christian and our the life we're in, right? And striving for those things that are right and good. Mm-hmm. And it says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. We are to be temperate. We are to have self-control. And it is all-inclusive, all things. Mm-hmm. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but as Christians, we an incorruptible. What we have is forever, right? And it's lasting. It's eternal. Yeah. And so it gives even more importance and bearing on this. I, therefore, so run not as uncertainty, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I like all these words in there. It's a battle. It's mm-hmm. a fight. It's a struggle. Yeah. You know, one person said the struggle is real. It is real it is. In this Christian life and this area of self-control.
Yeah.
But that last part, which we talked about, even in this is where, like with Master's Club, this is what we were telling with the kids. How we are as Christians will affect or make the gospel of Jesus Christ either more or less effective by our life. And being temperate is a very important thing.
You know, and Paul is likening the Christian life to the athlete. That's the person who striveth for the mastery. He has to be temperate in all things. You know, a professional athlete, they control every aspect of their life, their sleep habits, their eating habits, their exercise routine. Everything about their life is controlled, and it shows on the field. It shows in the competition what they've been doing outside of that. Same thing in the Christian life. So much of what we see in Christianity has lost credibility. And probably the main reason is because Christians have lost self-control. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about getting self-control after the break. Randy Mitchell and Max Robinson here. Thank you for joining us for this segment. In the previous segment, we talked about self-control. And there's some different terminology that perhaps maybe you'd be more familiar with. The Bible talks about temperance, and that's just a, you know, we talk about a blade, a knife being tempered. We talk about losing our temper. And so that Bible word temperate or temperance is associated with self-control. There's the concept of self-discipline, time management. I heard a preacher, Brother Max, just the other day, who talked about time management, and he said, really, time management is, you can't manage time, because time is what it is. But if you're going to manage time, really what you're doing is you're managing yourself.
Right.
Because time is what it is. It's
yes.
not going to stop
it's
for
a
anybody.
Constant.
It's a constant. We could use the term willpower. There's a word in psychology called stoic or stoicism. People who are kind of that mindset, they try to, you know, they're not emotional. They're very controlled and temperate in their appearance, and everything they view in life has kind of a rigid routine and schedule and so forth. I have weeks that I'm that guy, and then I have weeks that I'm the hot mess that everybody else is. And probably the most consistent thing in my life, Brother Max, is inconsistency. Sure. My life is so much like my golf game. You know, four shots and I'm ready to go pro. The next four, I'm ready to throw my clubs in the lake.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's crazy, and that's just life.
Yeah.
You mentioned 1 Corinthians 9. It's interesting that you read that, because that's where I had my Bible open to, because, you know, Paul talked about being temperate in all things. He said he keeps under his body, brings it into subjection, lest that by any means, he said, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. To be shipwrecked, to be ineffective, to lose credibility in our message. You know, Paul understood that. He said, but I keep under my body. There is an element of willpower in the Christian life. You know, I believe in the last segment, we're going to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and the necessity of getting God's help. Let me just say before we talk about any of these practical things, we are not insinuating that anyone can have perfect, consistent self-control with just human willpower. But you have to have a will, a desire to have self-control. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he said, his grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul understood, I need God's grace and help, but he also had some initiative, you know, some drive to do what he knew was right. Now, in life, Brother Max, what are some things that you have learned? Just helpful tidbits. I've got a handful of things that have worked for me in the past, and then they don't work, and then I have to regroup and start doing them again. But what are some practical tips for our listeners on how to start getting some self-control in their life?
Well, for me, you know, obviously we do the basic thing, you know, getting in the Word of God. But, you know, other aspects of this that are biblical principles, right? One, a soft answer turneth away wrath.
Mm.
Trying to learn some of these things, even in my marriage. I didn't have, you know, being transparent, but being careful. My early years of marriage, I was a very imperfect husband. I'm not saying I'm perfect now. I'm saying, but I was willful, and I didn't exercise restraints as far as speech and emotion, you know, and anger and things, and was willful. And it would only be until after that ran its course and caused so much hurt and damage, then there was sorrow and regret and all those other things. And so with time, and again, I haven't mastered this, of trying to be slow to speak, not quick to answer, to respond, not letting, you know, I'm sure you will agree with this, there, you can feel things welling up in you.
Mm-hmm.
As things are coming at you, you just feel like that spring,
like
getting ready to
tea
erupt.
Kettle getting ready to whistle.
And you feel like you have to always say something. And young children are very prone to do that. And getting where, you know, be quiet. Have a period of pause. Let it rest. Mm-hmm. Let it just slow it down, right? It's been helpful for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that has been an area of my life that I've really tried to do and attempting to do more and more. And it has helped me. It's taking those biblical principles and just, you know, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, trying to understand and know that sometimes people speak out of hurt, frustration, ignorance, and instead of responding, taking that time to really understand what's going on.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You said, you mentioned the word hurt. I know for me, I'm kind of natured like my dad was, just, you know, pretty easygoing. I don't have to get my way all the time. And so sometimes my lack of self-control with my anger, sometimes it manifests not when I'm not getting my way, you know. And so I think, well, I'm a pretty good guy here because I don't get mad when I don't get my way. But my problem is when, you know, just those hurts start piling up. You know, somebody says something that, you know, you try to man up and be tough, but yet it's still kind of cut a little bit. And then before you even can deal with that, you know, you got another zinger that comes your way, and those hurts just kind of pile up until you get frustrated and then you lose that control. All these different appetites in which self-control, there's the anger thing, that's biblical. Let every man be slow to speak, slow to wrath. And so sometimes if we'll just say, hey, I'm going to keep my mouth shut and give this some time, get our equilibrium and think before we speak. and you know, try to stay calm in the midst of those emotions. That can be a helpful tool. Just like kind of, you know, people who have problems controlling their sexual appetite. You know, something that I read this in a book and I found it very helpful. When you go around in public anywhere, you're going to find something that is sensual or immodest or something. And I read in a book where the guy said, learn to bounce your eyes. Meaning when you see that, don't give it a second look. Bounce your eyes away from it and then realize that, you know what, it doesn't do any good to look at that. All it's going to do is just cause, it's going to cause lust. It's going to cause frustration. It's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And there's going to be absolutely no pleasure, just like with pornography. It doesn't have any real lasting pleasure or fulfillment. It's just, it's a farce is what it is. And so the grief and the pain and all of the problems that it causes are way up here, whereas any pleasure that it causes is way down here in the gutter. And yet it is a human appetite. And so sometimes if a person's struggling with that, sometimes it means get rid of your internet or don't even go in those places. Sometimes, you know, somebody's struggling with those type things, then there are certain places, even in a grocery store where they have a magazine rack, where maybe the covers of those magazines are something that's gonna elicit those feelings and that sexual appetite, and just doing practical things to avoid those temptations. And you know, instead of thinking, oh, I've got to be strong to overcome this, sometimes the strong thing that we can do is acknowledge that we're too weak to handle it, and make sure that we don't put ourselves in a situation where our weakness is going to overcome and we lose our self-control.
And I think a term that's often used with some of those scenarios that you're describing, they call them triggers.
Mm-hmm.
And a firm called Covenant Eyes out there, they deal with that a lot. And they have a lot of helpful information for those types of addictions and things like that. And it's a worthwhile place to go to get some help and some encouragement to overcome these things. But yes, avoiding those triggers. And a trigger for me may not be the same trigger for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody that's trying to get quit cigarette smoking, right? Obviously, being around and getting a whiff of secondhand, you might have to avoid that. You know,
right,
where people are. For me, it's going to gag me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a trigger. It's not going to help me at all, right? But for somebody else, it's a real problem. It's a real issue, and it could be a trigger that's going to make them lose some self-control and go back. Same with alcohol. Same with sexual desires. Every these things. Anger.
Yeah.
There are people that are angry. We're in Scripture, we're to avoid them. Avoid an angry man.
Yeah.
It's very clear. So avoid those triggers that set you off or get you on that path of going and losing self-control.
That's like I'm a carboholic. I love simple carbohydrates. And if you don't know what that is, it's cookies and candy and cake and pie and cinnamon rolls. My wife's cinnamon rolls are definitely a trigger for me. And my wife, she has more self-control in that area. My family is all, you know, kind of low metabolism, portly type people. And so we all like our carbs. And so, you know, my wife, she can eat just a little nibble of something sweet and be satisfied. I can't do that. I take a nibble, I want a bite. I take a bite, I want the whole thing. I eat the whole thing, I want another one. And so I have to discipline myself by saying, just no, I'm not going to eat any of those carbs. You know, and even splurge days, I have to be careful with that, because sometimes that just wakes up the monster inside of me. And then I have to, you know, try to fight to get that self-control back. And we all know what our weaknesses are. And one of the practical tips is to recognize and face that weakness. And, you know, the Bible has a principle there. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so sometimes self-control is just a matter of not making provision for those things that we know we very well may not be able to control ourselves in that situation. And so the next segment, I want to go into what I believe is the most important aspect of this, especially to the child of God. You know, children of God, people who are believers in Jesus Christ, if anybody has self-control, we ought to. You know, you expect the lost world to act like the lost world, and not everybody is a believer, not everybody's a Christian. And so even among Christians, there are people who are pretty dedicated in their Christianity and people that are pretty nominal or even lukewarm. And so, but if anybody, the Bible says, let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If anybody has self-control, we ought to. We're going to talk about what the Bible secret is right after the break. In 1 Timothy chapter number 4, the Apostle Paul talks about exercising unto godliness. And he says in verse number 8, he says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." If you've ever engaged in exercise, you know that it takes some self-discipline, it takes some self-control. Exercise is something that we all need. We all could probably use some more. And oftentimes exercise is exactly what our body needs, but it's the exact thing that our body doesn't feel like doing. And oftentimes in life, the things that are the most needful and helpful are the things that we don't feel like doing. And the things that we want to do and we have an appetite to do are the things that are both short-term, medium-term, and long-term destructive and hurtful. And many people live dysfunctional lives, Brother Max, and it all can be traced back to some act in the past or a habit in life of not having any self-control, whether it's depression because of health situations, and the whole thing can just snowball into a mess. Especially as children of God, we are supposed to live victorious lives. God certainly has a plan and a purpose that we have something that is better and different than what the world has. I still have my old sinful nature, and so I have my days where I feel like that I'm really no different than the rest of the world. I'm no different than I was before I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I also have days where I find that the grace of God is very real. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And of those 9 different graces, those 9 different manifestations that are listed as the fruit of the Spirit, one of those is the word temperate, having self-control. That is a fruit of the Spirit. And so to a believer, having self-control is not just simply us having the willpower, but also us being dependent upon the help of the Lord. And whenever I try to do it on my own power, I fall and I fail, Brother Max. But whenever I truly, genuinely say, "God, I need you, I need your help," He's never, ever failed me, not one single time.
The text you were referring to there in Galatians chapter 5, you know, has those 9 very visible, very profound aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. And in that passage, it also says, against such there is no law. There is no restrictions in this. Now, the lack of self-control and its causes, its effects, its problems, it's damning, it's devastating, and we are supposed to have temperance. But as far as what we get from Christ being Spirit-filled, you can't say you're too temperate.
Right.
You can't say I have too much love. I have too much joy. There's no limit to that in the Christian life, in a biblical sense and perspective, right?
Yeah.
And so that's an important part to know. But this goes to a sister passage, in my opinion, is in 2 Peter chapter 1, wherein that gives a list of things for the believer to, as we walk in faith, because you mentioned about we have victory, Romans chapter 8 speaks of that victory through Christ and gives us a whole list of things. 1 John tells us that our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That faith is in Jesus Christ, who we need. And then 2 Peter 1 says a whole list of things. Building blocks to our faith. And then that passage ends, not the end of the chapter, but that thought ends with that if we are to do this, if we are to be vigilant, as Paul said, I die daily to self, as we read in 1 Corinthians, this battle we're in, if we are to do this consistently, it clearly says then we will never fall.
That's right.
So there is hope in not falling.
Yeah.
It's not an impossibility.
Yeah, he said, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance brotherly kindness. It's all a building block.
Exactly.
And getting on God's track, doing God's will, doing whatever you know to be right, do it today, do that again tomorrow. So often Christians are looking for some pie in the sky. They're waiting for a silver bullet or some magic wand to just make everything great. No, we just need to get on God's track and start moving forward and let God work in our life. It's just like the ship in the ocean. You can steer you can turn the rudder all the way around 360 degrees. If that ship is just sitting in the harbor, not moving forward, that rudder isn't affecting anything.
Right.
It's just spinning around in the water. You've got to move forward for God. And one of those things that it's essential is having a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, just before Paul lays out those fruit of the Spirit, he says, but walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so walking in the Spirit, there's a connection between the Spirit of God and the Word of God. I heard a preacher just the other day say that that our attitude toward the Word of God is a reflection of our attitude toward the Son of God. If we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're going to have a relationship with Him through the Bible. Psalm 138, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. We cannot have a true relationship with Jesus Christ if we are not in the Word of God, listening to what He has to say, and then in turn communicating with Him in prayer. And so these are not checklist things that will magically give us self-control, but the psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And so we do those things. We try not to make provision for the flesh. We walk in the Spirit. If we have things that, if we sin or make mistakes, we go to God's cleansing. And I want to talk about that here in just a moment. But having a relationship with God and, you know, hiding the Bible in our heart and knowing it, these are the things that are essential for every believer to have victory over the flesh and actually have some self-control in our lives. So having said all that, Brother Max, how do we recover? You know, I've blown it big time. David blew it big time. Moses blew it and didn't get to, you know, he had consequences. He didn't get to go into the promised land, but he still recovered. He still made the best of what he could. David, he suffered the rest of his life because of his lack of self-control with Bathsheba and Uriah. He suffered much for it, but he did repent and he got back on track. What do we say to the people out there? It's like, hey, I know, preacher, that I need to have self-control, but I made a lot of mistakes, and I've been frustrated thinking there's no point in even trying again. And that is human nature. What do we say to them, people out there that need to figure out how to recover?
Well, one, say you're in good company. At one time, we've all been in this situation. Nobody has walked a perfect life before God.
So maybe cut yourself a little slack.
Yeah, but we also need to not look at, well, it's all okay, that's just the way I am. No, we can't do that either. We do need to, like with David, David was the king of Israel. I mean, he was it. He had wealth, he had power, he had esteem, not just among the people, but among other nations. He had other nations that were under his foot. And his sin was very public. And he had to humble himself. He did seek God's forgiveness. but he also accepted the consequences and did not let the consequences keep him from going forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of us, we want a problem to be solved. We want God to take the magic eraser, and then we just want to go on with it having no effect on us or on others, and it's all gone. Well, that's not how it is. I mean, mm-hmm. The things we do have an effect. But we do need to just humble ourselves. Know that God does forgive, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The book of Proverbs speaks of a just or righteous man falling 7 times, but getting up with that spirit, that heart of humility, repentance toward God, and striving to live right.
Mm-hmm. I think oftentimes our desire to just quit and just throw in the towel, I'm tired, I've failed too many times, I'm not perfect, or dealing with the consequences of when we have lost self-control, whether it be our anger, a sexual appetite, to whatever the case may be, oftentimes we get discouraged, and really that's just masked pride. That's all that it is, that perfectionist tendency. And I agree, we don't want to take our loss of self-control lightly, like it's no big deal. At the same token, we've got to recognize that there is hope for recovery. And that starts by restoring our relationship with God. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God will forgive and God will cleanse. You say, well, I'm just having a hard time forgiving myself. Well, are you better than God? Are you more righteous than God? If God can forgive me, certainly I can forgive myself and move on. Folks, we have been delighted to be with you today. Brother Max, thank you for joining me here today. It's been a good time talking about God and his word. We trust that you've enjoyed it today. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
We appreciate you taking the time to join us at Salt and Light. It is our desire that you experience the joy of following Jesus Christ. He loves you, and he died on the cross for your sins. He will give you hope, peace, and eternal life if you will repent of your sins and trust him as your Savior. You may see yourself as a good person, but you will never be good enough to deserve heaven. You may see yourself as bad, but you can never be too bad for Jesus to forgive you. You can call upon him to save you this very moment. If you are a born-again Christian, we want to encourage you to obey Christ's command and be salt and light to those around you. We encourage you to find a Bible-believing church that does not compromise or water down the Bible, and get involved serving the Lord. If you have a Bible question or a particular issue you would like us to discuss on Salt and Light, visit our website at templebaptistnc.com. Click on the Salt and Light link. Once again, that's templebaptistnc.com. May the Lord bless you. We hope you'll join us again next week.